that the Lord will give them strength and help them. This morning, we want to talk about learning. When we come into this world as a small baby, they're learning. And you don't have to tell them to learn. They just learn. By their experiences and by what happens to them, they learn. They know exactly what they're capable of and what they're not capable of, and they keep pushing and pushing. You know, they roll over, and then they discover, oh, they can roll over. So now they try to do this, they try to do that. Pretty soon they're crawling, and then you don't have to. There's a lot of parents that encourage their children to go ahead and walk and walk and walk, and then afterwards they're sorry they taught them that. But there are many, many children that they don't need any encouragement. They will walk. They will do it. And they will get up the courage to do it. Because they're learning. They're ever learning. We in our Christian walk are ever learning. There are some of us that have been saved many years. We've learned a lot. There are some of us that have been saved just a few, maybe even months. Maybe not even quite a year, or just a couple of years. We're learning. We realize we have a lot more to learn. The thing is, though, even those of us that have been learning for many, many years, we still have a lot to learn. The closer we get to heaven, the closer we get to our final reward, the more we realize we don't know. We just find out more and more. There is a place in the middle of your years of salvation that you can get pretty comfortable, you know, that middle place. When you're first starting out, you're pressing and pressing because you're afraid, I don't want to go back, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, and I'm worrying about if I'm pleasing the Lord and doing all these things. And then you get to that middle place, and it's a pretty comfortable place. And we learn that, you know, that we know what to do, we know how to respond. We might not always do it exactly right, but we know how. We've learned, see, and we kind of get into a comfortable place. But then you go on for very much longer, and you get where you're getting close to your reward, and you start really looking. Yeah. You start really looking again. So there are all these different stages of learning, even for the Christian. And so we want to start in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. I've learned something. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Have you learned that? Whatsoever state you're in. Oh, listen, we've been going through a lot of sickness, haven't we? A lot of sickness here in the congregation. A lot of strange things happening to us. A lot of unexplainable things. A lot of things that we've gone through it twice. You know, first we have it. We get over it, then we catch it again, we have it again. Different things that have been happening. Are you content? You know, in every one of us, there is a place where we just want to get out. We want to get out of this. But what have we learned? What have we learned over the years? We've learned that when we're in these places, we learn something. And we expect to learn something. In the beginning, we didn't know that. We went through it, and on the other side, we looked back and figured out what we had learned. And we would testify about it and say, oh, this is so wonderful. This is what I learned. And we, now, after you've been saved for a while, what do? You stand up on Wednesday night and you say, I don't know when this is going to end. But I know the Lord's going to bring it to an end. And I know this and I know that. How do you know that? Because you've learned it. You've learned how it goes on. And whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Oh, we go through some things. Hardships, spiritual hardships, mental hardships, physical hardships, financial hardships. We've gone through some things. And we've learned that God is always there. And that's why we're content. It's not because these are wonderful experiences to go through, because they're not. But what we have learned is that God is there with us and he goes through it with us. That's our contentment. Our contentment is knowing that God is right there and he knows what's going on. says in the 12th, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer to need. And then the last scripture says, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's what we've learned, isn't it? That no matter what we're going through, we can go through because Christ is our strength. He strengthens us to go through. We don't even know sometimes how we're going to make it through. We don't even know the end of it. We can't see the end of it. We don't know what is coming next. All we know is we're in the heat of the battle, and all we can see is the battle raging all around us. But we've learned. We've learned that I can do all these things. I can go through all these things with Christ strengthening me. That's what I've learned. I've learned how to be abased and to abound. I know how to, like, suffer need. You know, I know how to do that. And I know how to abound and not get a big head and not spend up all this money that I just got on foolishness. But to learn, what have I learned? I've learned that there's sometimes times that I don't have enough. And there's other times that I have more than enough. And what have I learned? I've learned that when I have the more than enough, I better save for the less. Mm-hmm. The times that I don't have enough. These are the things I've learned. We're all learning all the time, every day. And with God, it is such a wonderful thing because he's there with us as we learn. All right, is Isaiah 50, 4 and 5. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. That I should know how to speak a word in season to them. Him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Have you got the tongue of the learned? Have you got the tongue of the learned? Do you know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary? Do you know how to bring about good with your tongue? Have you learned? Have you learned how to do that? Have you learned how to be full and hungry at the same time? Oh, you know something? We can get full of the Lord. Something can happen and come our way, and we can feel so full of the Lord, just over rejoicing in everything. But have you learned that right after that something is coming? Have you learned that yet? So you better be hungry. When you're full, you better be hungry, because something's coming and you're going to need some more. So you better be ready. You better be storing up for what's coming ahead. These are the things we've learned. Have you learned how to help somebody that's weary? Have you learned how to speak those words? You know, in the beginning, sometimes we can speak so many words. You know, we think we're being encouraging and telling people how they need to live for God and this and that and the other. But they haven't got a clue how to do all that. Some of them, even if they've been raised knowing the truth, doesn't mean they have a clue how to do it. They're just as ignorant in sin. When they're in sin, they're just as ignorant as somebody that hasn't known anything. Because somebody that hasn't known anything, when they hear it for the first time, something registers. But somebody that's been rejecting it and walking away from it and all, they hear it again. It doesn't register. It's just turmoil all over again. It says here that at the end here it says, the Lord opened my ear. And what did I learn? It says, I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. In other words, I learned what rebellious was, didn't I? Haven't you learned that? Because you found yourself there. Even after you were saved and wanting to live all for the Lord and doing everything he wanted you to do, you found yourself rebelling against some things. I don't know why I have to do that. I don't know why. I don't have to put up with that. Surely the Lord doesn't want me to put up with that. But the Lord helped us. He helped us to learn what rebellious was. Because we didn't even know. People make excuses all the time for their rebelliousness. You know, they call it all kinds of other things than what it is. Just rebellious. And we have learned what the word means. And we have learned that when we are rebellious, there is going to be some suffering that comes. Yeah. There's going to be something that comes to straighten us out. So we've learned. We've learned that. In the 11th verse of the same chapter, it says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compress yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow." Do you hear what this voice is telling you? All ye that kindle a fire. Have you learned not to kindle a fire? Have you learned not to do that? See, there's already a fire going. There's already something. I'm going to lay some more kindling on it. Have you learned not to do that? Have you learned to stand back and say, "I'm not touching that. I'm not entering into that conversation. I'm going to turn around and walk away like I didn't even hear what they were talking about, because I'm not laying no kindling on that fire. I'm not going to have sparks flying up all around me that I have to live with now. I have to worry about them burning me and burning my stuff and everything around me because I was willing to lay kindling on the fire. Lord, help us." It says, he says, "Ye shall lie down in sorrow." You're going to be sorrowful if you do this. Yeah. If you kindle a fire. If you do those things. And what have we learned? Oh, we learned to walk away from argumentative people.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not the only place. How about walking away from well-meaning people? How about walking away and though somebody is saying something that is so against God, but the Lord says, "This isn't the time or the place." Can you walk away from that one? Or are you going to go over there and lay some kindling on the fire and call it standing up for the Lord? You know what I'm saying? See, there's some things that we're supposed to have learned along the way. And we've learned them. Sometimes we don't put them into practice very well. And we learn to do that too. You know, we learn it the first time. And then we have a few trials. And what happens? The Lord brings it back around because you haven't quite learned it yet. And we end up in a big mess, a big fire. Our names cast out. Our names all mixed up in it. We're having to explain things and having to backtrack on things. And what do? We walk away and we say, "Lord, help me not to get in something like that again. Because I'm just making my own self to have sorrow. And I haven't changed a thing." What have you learned? That there are some arguments that you don't need to have?
Yes.
Have you learned that there are some subjects to stay away from?
Yes.
Have you learned there are some people to stay away from?
Yes.
And not let them draw you in to some kind of a statement or some kind of something, because they're going to take that and they're going to run with it and cast your name out. And so-and-so said this. You know, there are so many ministers that have had half truths told about what they said, because the person only heard half of what they said because they were so tied up in their own thinking. They only heard half. And they spread that this minister said so-and-so. And you say, "What? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that minister could have said, oh, yes, I heard him. I was right there." You know, and if you run it down, which you should. In other words, if you hear something bad about somebody, you either cast it out as unbelievable and forget it, or you go to the person you heard it about and say, "Listen, this is something, a rumor that I heard about you, and I would like to know the truth about it." And do you know something? People that are saved won't mind telling you the truth. They won't mind. They won't mind. People would like to clear their reputation. Do you know that? They would like to clear it. They would like to be able. They can't run down. Rumors go out and the feathers go everywhere. They can't run them all down. And they can't clear it up. But if people would be willing to come to them and say, "This is what I heard," and they have an opportunity to say, "No, that's not true," and explain what really happened, then that person now has good knowledge to go out. And everywhere that rumor comes up, they can say, "That isn't true. I went to the source and they said it happened and that was not true." And you have some ammunition then to be able to go and clear somebody's name. Have you learned not to enter into all that talking and gossip and all those things? Okay, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Those are some pretty powerful scriptures.
Yes.
Let your conversation be without covetousness. Do you know that there are some people that talk about other people because they're really a little bit jealous of them? Mm-hmm. Do you know that? Yes. Have you learned that? So have you learned to be a little bit suspicious of everything you hear? Have you learned to not let people dump things on you?
Yes.
So you don't have to hear it all. To where you can just say, wait a minute. If you're about to tell me something about somebody, I don't want to hear it, because I won't know if it's true. It'll just be something you're saying, and I won't know if it's true. And I don't want that running around in my mind hindering me. So if you know something about somebody and you think something, you need to go straight to that source and find out for yourself and clear it up. But don't tell me about it.
Yes.
Have you learned to do that? I'll tell you, it's hard. It's hard. It's easy to listen. Easy. But you will pay for that, because it will bother you. It will bother you. Ever so often you will think about it. Or when you see that person, you will think about it. It will be something that the devil can use, a little bit of ammunition, to just poke at you. So have you learned not to let that happen? To be content with things that you have. Have you learned that? Oh, people are in so much debt in this day and age because they are not content with what they have. I was amazed. I was amazed. When I started out my household, you know, old, us that are older, and we started out our households, what did we start with? We started with hand-me-downs. You know, somebody gave you this couch out of their garage, and this one gave you this over here out of someplace else. Nothing matched. Nothing looked the same. We didn't have wonderful decorated houses. But what is happening today? They don't want to get married until they can have the decorated house. They don't want to get married until they can have the $20,000 wedding. And that's conservative in this day and age. What is that? Not being content with what you have. Always covetous for something else. Always wanting to go further and further. Have you learned to be content? Have you learned? It says, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Have you learned that? Have you learned not to be afraid of man? Not to be afraid of what he says, not to be afraid of what he's going to say, not to work up a whole conversation in your mind about how you're going to answer him when he says it. That you're just not afraid of him. God is with me, and he's just going to help me go through. Whatever, that's why he tells us, don't think ahead of time what you're going to say or anything, because I'll give you what you need. It'll be simple. It'll be simple. Do you know that sometimes people don't know the simple way to get out of things? You know, the fastest and simplest way to get out of things, when somebody comes to you and they're telling you about yourself, you know the fastest way to get out, don't you? Have you learned the fastest way? I'm sorry. That's it. Two words. Well, three. I am sorry. That's the fastest way to get out. And you don't have to clarify. And you don't have to tell them about it. And you don't have to say, well, you know, I'm sorry for this, but not for that. And I'm sorry for the way I said it. Or no, you can just say, I'm sorry. You will be out. You know why? Because they don't have anything else to say. And if they do, and they say, well, but, you know, you were so-and-so, and I'm so sorry. And then if they come back and they say, but, you know, this and that, you know, and then they're just, I am just so sorry. What else is there to say? What else can they say? What are they going to do? They're going to go. You know what people do? They say, well, you know, I went to them with what was wrong. And they said, it was because of this, and they had this excuse, and they had that excuse, and everything. They're going to tell all about you. I can guarantee you they're not going to say anything about what you do when you say, I'm sorry. They're not going to say it. They're not going to say, I went to them, and I said so and so and so and so, and they just said they were sorry. What kind of a story is that? See, there's nowhere to go with that story. It doesn't cause anything. They're not going to repeat that story. Matthew 23:12. I know how to be humble. Have you learned how to be humble? And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It is a law in the gospel that if you push yourself up, you are coming down. And if you lower yourself down, you are coming up. That doesn't mean if I put myself down, pretty soon God's going to put me on the throne and I'm going to be the one that everybody listens to. No. That isn't what it means. It means you're going to be exalted in spiritual things, in the spiritual life, in the things that really matter. You're going to be exalted. You're going to be able to understand things and perceive things and get a hold of things. Why? Because I'm humble. Why? Because I've given up myself. I've given up my own ideas, my own way of thinking. I've given all that up. I've humbled myself. So now I can be exalted. God can teach me so many things because I've humbled myself. Have you learned that? Have you learned to humble yourself? Not just before God. How about humble yourself before his people? How about doing that? Humbling yourself before his people. Do you know you can measure the humility of a man to God by how humble he is with people? If he is not very humble with the people around him, he is not very humble with God. He may say he is, but he is not. Because when humility gets a hold of you, it works everywhere. See, it doesn't work just with God. It works with the people around you. It works with the ones that are coming against you. It works with those that you don't know. It works with those that you do know. Humility works everywhere. But if we're just willingly humble to the God of heaven, because we have to be, because he's so much bigger than we are, but we're just kind of humble with the people around us because, you know, really, I'm a little bit better than they are sometimes. We're not going to get anywhere. The Lord wants us to learn how to be humble. Have you learned it? Oh, you know, you've gone through the test. You've learned humility. And you know what? If you don't learn humility, sometimes in the very beginning, you don't learn humility. You don't learn to humble yourself. What happens is you are humiliated. And then you want out of there fast. You want out of there fast. And you begin to learn, you know what? I don't like that humiliated at all. That doesn't feel good. It doesn't work good in you. You know what I'm saying? It just churns and it's awful. And so you learn, Lord, please don't humiliate me. God gives space for people to repent. He gives space for them to get a hold of things. He gives space for them to learn what they should be learning. And if you don't, he will let it come out in the open and you will be humiliated. Because you're going to have to humble before you can make it to heaven, before you can make it to do all the things God's requiring of you. You are going to have to humble yourself and learn how to lay down before the Lord and get humble. I would venture to say almost everybody in here at some time has prayed and been crying to the Lord to where they just went prostrate on the ground. You ever done that? Most people do. At some point or another, they do. They just lay down. Why? Because I need to get less. I need to have more from you and less of me. And it just feels better to be laying on the ground. Just feels better. When the Lord healed my knees and I could now kneel in prayer, I can't tell you how wonderful that feels. To always have to pray sitting up or laying down. You know what I'm saying? Not in a humble, reverent position. And when the Lord healed my knees and I was able to get down on my knees, and oh, the devil fought me so hard. He fought me so hard because he didn't want me to have it. I wrestled with the devil all day. I knew that the Lord had done something to my knees. I knew they were healed. There was no pain. But I was afraid to get on my knees. Because, see, every time I got on my knees, I would suffer for a couple days. So I would just suffer. And I would have to, just more pain, and they would swell, and just, and I suffered if I got on my knees. And so I was wanting to get on my knees, and oh, the devil fought me all day long. All day long, I let him fight me. That's terrible to say, but I let it happen. You get down on your knees, you're going to lose it. You're not going to have it anymore. The pain's going to come back. They're going to swell like they always have. You know, this, that, and the other. And I would say, no, Lord, I believe you've healed my knees. And I fought and fought and fought. And finally, about 5 o'clock in the evening, I said, that's it. I'm getting on my knees. You know, and I went over to a chair and I got down on my knees. And the devil was a liar. I knew he was a liar. But sometimes you've suffered with something for so long and the Lord gives it to you and you're so afraid you're going to do something to ruin it. You know, you're just because it's so important. And he was just a liar. And then he fought me. I don't know when it stopped. He fought me for weeks about it. Probably maybe 2 months, maybe about 2 months. He fought me. You know, I would get up one morning and this knee would have a little twinge in it. And I would get up and the other one would have a twinge in it. And this little thing would happen and that little thing would happen. And it would be weak today and it would be this. And I would just be fighting and fighting and fighting all the time. And I would just keep telling the Lord, Lord, you healed me. You didn't heal me. You take it away. You healed me. This is the enemy. I rebuked the devil. And I fought and fought. And I don't know when it stopped. I don't know when the devil finally gave up. But I don't have those struggles now. And I don't have pain in my knees either. And I'm so thankful for what he did. You see, to humble yourself, to be able to kneel in prayer and humble yourself, just feels good. It just feels good. And I like it. And I appreciate being able to do that now. It's in 2 Corinthians 8, the 7th verse. Therefore ye, as ye abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Love towards us means love towards the brethren. And that in this grace also, he was talking about giving. He was talking about people that were giving. So, abound in everything. Have you learned to abound in everything? In faith, to let that faith grab a hold, to let it rise up in you. You know, we have to work at that. It doesn't come. It just doesn't fall on us. We have to work on it. We have to work on it all the time. Utterance. Being able to speak the right things at the right time. Being able to expound, open our mouth and let God fill it in knowledge and all diligence. Are you abounding? See, abounding in this, in all diligence. Ooh, that's a bad one. Diligence. Every day, diligence. Abounding in diligence. In our prayer life, in our reading, in our studying the Word, in our daily duties, in our working with our children, working with our husbands and wives, and all these things. Are you diligent in all of that? I can remember when I was raising my children, and I had so many of them at once, and I can remember walking into a room and seeing something going on and turning around and walking back out. They didn't see me, so I pretended I didn't see them because I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to deal with it right then. It was one of those things where you would tell them and explain to them, you can't do this, you can't do that. But they weren't going to hurt anything. They weren't going to kill anybody, you know. But it was one of those things. It was a teaching moment, and I was tired. I didn't want to teach it. We can't do that, dear ones. And we learn that we can't do that. We learn because we come up short. We find out that something comes and all of a sudden we're struck with something that comes up at us and we don't have what we need. Why? Because we weren't diligent in the better times. We have to be diligent. So have you learned that? Have you learned to be real diligent? James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I want you to understand that we have to be peacemakers. We are the world's peacemakers. Okay? Okay, it says the fruit of righteousness is sown in us in peace when we make peace. So this wisdom that we need, it says it's pure and peaceable. Are you peaceable? Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Have you learned these things? Have you learned how to do these things? Have you learned that you have to be full of mercy? Why? All of us learned that we had a little bit of judgmental stuff in us. That we would look around and kind of think some things until the Lord got a hold of us and says, you have the same thing. And then we started learning. Okay, that's not a good thing to do. Because we don't know our own hearts sometimes. And we might have the same thing. That is not a good thing to do. I need to just be full of mercy. Like God was merciful with me. While I'm judging that one for having it. I have it. But God doesn't strike me down. He's just merciful until he can get it to me. Have you learned to be gentle? Easy to be entreated? Oh, listen, dear ones. People want to stand up for themselves. Easy to be entreated is someone that has learned they do not have to stand up for themselves. That they listen more than they talk. Lots of people are good talkers. But not very many people are good listeners. Listening is somebody is entreating you about something. Somebody is telling you, this really bothers me. What is people's first response when somebody comes to them and says, this really bothers me? They say, oh, well, you do so-and-so and it bothers me. Or, well, I don't even know why that would bother you. Or I don't know. What are we doing? We're just defending ourselves. That's what we're doing. Have you learned not to do that? Have you learned to be easily entreated? So that when somebody says something to you, you say, oh, I didn't realize that. Most of the time when we're entreated about something, it's something that we don't know. And it's something that we haven't realized. And it's something that we don't see, usually. And we might not see it even as they're talking to us. But listen. What have we learned to do? We have learned to listen to it and then take it to the Lord. And when we take it to the Lord, what does the Lord do? He rightly divides it all. And he lets you know, yes, what they're talking about is this, this, and this. You know, not this that you're kind of thinking is what they're saying. No, they're talking about this. And this is what you need to correct. See, God will rightly divide it for us. But we have to be easily entreated. We have to be willing to go before the Lord and let him teach us and help us. Have you learned? Without partiality, without hypocrisy. You ever found yourself being a hypocrite? I think all of us learned something about being a hypocrite on this journey. We learned it. We didn't know necessarily we were being a hypocrite, of course, because no child of God would willingly be one. But we find out that this thing that we're doing or this way we're thinking or this or that, we find out that's just hypocritical. And you're stunned when the Lord reveals. Have you learned that you can be guilty of some of these kinds of things, not know that they're there, not know that they're there. But when the Lord reveals it, we need to be easily entreated by Him, by those around us. We have to be easily entreated. Have you learned to do that quickly? Say, Lord, I don't see this, but this isn't the first time somebody has said this. That's a clue, dear ones. When it's not the first time somebody said it, it's a clue. The Lord is letting multiple witnesses come before you to tell you that you have this. Oh, we don't like to believe things sometimes. But we might as well just get humble before God. Because you know what? We're ambassadors for Christ. And if they see this in us, if they see this in us, and this one sees it, and that one sees it, and this one sees it, and they've all tried to talk to us about it, and we're still saying, I don't see it. How are we representing the Lord? They're going to think, well, they don't hear from the Lord, because the Lord would tell them, right? They don't hear from the Lord. I can't trust them. They can't even see this. Lord, help us. Have we learned? See, have we learned? First Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Have you learned that your suffering, that most of your suffering is from the will of God? Have you learned that? That most of it comes from the will of God. God looks over everything in our life. We know that by the story that He gave us about Job. That He's interested in what's happening in people's lives. That He took note of him and who he was and how he sacrificed for his children just in case they had done something they shouldn't have been doing and all these things. He kept everything that he was supposed to be keeping. Have you learned that when we suffer, we're suffering according to the will of God? Now, sometimes, dear ones, we suffer because of ourselves. That isn't the will of God. We spoke out of turn and we caused a big fire. And now we're suffering. That isn't the will of God. He didn't send that to you. Although He did allow it so that you could see it, so that you could understand it, so that maybe next time you won't kindle that fire. But we suffer according to the will of God. As we go through life, just look around us. Look at everybody. Look at the things that have come up on people in their lives, the sufferings that they've gone through. All of us can look on somebody else and say, they suffer way more than I do. All of us can. We don't always understand it, right? We don't understand why it seems like some families go through a lot of suffering and other families go through with very little. We don't understand it all. But God does. So understand that if you're one of those families that goes through a lot of suffering, that you still have to learn that it's the will of God. The will of God is working here. It isn't just the will of the devil. It isn't the will of this or that. It's the will of God. He's trying to help you. He's trying to bring you out. He's trying to teach you. He's trying to instruct you. And He's also making you witnesses to the world. And sometimes, like the one, was it a child that Jesus healed? And they said, who sinned, the mother or the father? And He said, nobody. That it was just to show the glory of God. Do you know that sometimes your suffering is just to show the glory of God? To show. Have you learned these things? See, a lot of us in here have been saved for a lot of years. Some of us are just beginning. But even the beginners, they've already learned something. They've learned something. They've learned to call on for prayer when they're in trouble and they need a little something, need a little help. They've learned. Help us to not be lazy in our learning. Help us not to be lazy in our learning. Help us to look at our lives and realize that I have not arrived. I do not know it all. There are still things that God wants to correct about me. And when I hear some things that challenge me and that I'm not sure of and that I don't know, and when I hear those kind of things, don't get stiff-necked. Start using your own brain for you figuring out all the reasons why I don't have to think about this or whatever. But just go straight to God and lay it on Him. Lay it out before Him. And the thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to say, Lord, I don't know what to think about this. But if this is what you want in my life, I'm willing. See, I'm willing. But what we find out is we struggle for a long time because if it is, even if it is what the Lord wants in our life, we really don't want to do it. So we've learned a lot of things, dear ones. We need to put that learning into practice. We need to recognize the enemy when he comes against us. We've learned some things about his tactics. We need to recognize God's voice and the enemy's voice. We need to be able to stand strong in the face of adversity and everything. But the biggest thing that we have learned, this is the biggest thing we have learned, that we can do all things through Christ. Haven't you learned that? There's some things you didn't think you could go through. There's some things that you didn't think you were coming out on the other side of. There were some things that so rocked your very faith and foundation that you didn't know how you were going to come out on the other side. But you know something? We can do all things through Christ. We just keep going to Him. We just keep ourselves humble and pliant and prostrate before Him so that He can keep teaching us. It is not a shame to not know something. It is a shame to know it and not put it into practice. See, that's shameful, to know it and not put it into practice. And ever so often, we have a test that comes up, and we might fail. But right away, we know. Right away, we know we just did the wrong thing. And now we're going to have to fix this, and the Lord's going to have to help us to know how to fix it, because we don't even know how to fix things. Amen. You can go to people and talk to them and everything, and they can still hold it against you. It's going to take the Lord to show you how to fix it. But He can help us to do that. So, dear ones, we've learned a lot of things. Let's put them all into practice and not pretend like we didn't learn them. You know? Because you never know when that pop quiz is coming. You know? All those things in school, they used to tell you, read this chapter. You know, read this chapter for next day and everything. And sometimes, and you would not read it, and you'd come to class, and they'd just be going over the whole chapter, and you're thinking, why would I have to read this the night before? You know, we're just going over it again. And so this may happen a couple times, and then what happened? Then that night, they told you to read that chapter, and the next morning, there's the pop quiz on the chapter, and you're not ready. So we need to be ready, dear ones. We need to put into practice the things that we've learned so that God can use us, and He can point to us, and He can use us to further His kingdom, speak the words that need to be spoken in the right way, at the right time, that we can show true humility to a world that is proud and lifted up. Amen.